I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
Every show is a social experiment, and you're part of the test. Climb in our germ-filled petri dish of sports, and let's put the world under a microscope. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I'd say that Dennis Wiedemann actually fought the law. It's more like he ran into the law. The NHL has handed the Calgary Flames defenseman a 20-game suspension for abuse of an official. The fifth NHL player suspended this century is our Damien Cox. It's on Sportsnet. It's a multi-layered decision. I think Damien hits the nail on the head. A lot of it is optics. A lot of it is political. It's an opportunity to, especially for Colin Campbell, to stand up for his officials, send a message, all that good stuff. But I think there's something else at work here that I really like. And I'm on the record. I think Dennis Wiedemann, if it's me, I'm throwing him out for the rest of the year. I'm not buying the argument that he didn't know where he was or who he was running into or anything like that. I mean, please. But this is the fault of the Calgary Flames and the fault of Dennis Wiedemann. If he was, in fact, woozy, as he says he was, then go to the quiet room. As soon as Dennis Wiedemann decided that he was okay to stay in the game, the notion that he may have had some sort of concussion or something happened on that hit in the corner, that goes out the window. The evidence would suggest... The evidence that we have would suggest that he was okay because he stayed in the game. He didn't go. So I blame the Calgary Flames and Dennis Wiedemann for this whole thing. If he had gone to the back room and gone through the protocol for concussion testing, it would be a hell of a lot easier to believe his story. I think the NHL got this right. I think that there will be an appeal process. The suspension will probably be knocked down. But really, people, this was the only thing the NHL could do in this instance. You can't take the word of a player who, didn't take advantage of the opportunities afforded him under the league's concussion protocol. Maybe the best thing to come out of this will be players and coaches will take that concussion protocol a little more seriously.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
We will have Maple Leafs hockey tonight for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. The Leafs and the Devils, the Lou Lamoriello Bowl. Our Leafs Nation pregame with Stelic and Hlushko will be at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hockey Central's pregame will be at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. Puck drop just after 7:30 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. And as always, our Leafs Nation postgame with Stelic and Hlushko right after the final horn right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So again, Devils and Leafs tonight on Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The story the hockey world is talking about, well, there are a couple of stories. One, the continuing collapse of the Montreal Canadiens. And two, Dennis Wiedemann getting 20 games for running into Don Henderson, the linesman. I have no problem with the way the NHL ruled in this. As I said, I would have come down a little harder on him. But I think when you look at the various elements of this particular situation, you blame the player and you blame the organization for the way it turned out. Ren Lavoie is our NHL insider from TVS Sports. Ren Lavoie joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Ren, before we talk about the Habs, and I know you're dying to talk about the Habs, the Dennis Weidman suspension, were you surprised at all about the length of the suspension? I think we all thought something was coming down, but were you surprised at this length of suspension?
Well, surprise, I'll say no, because I expected it. 20 games was exactly what the officials were hoping, and they got it. But you know what? I look at the history of suspension in the NHL in a similar incident, and there's nothing over 10 games. The last time actually it happens over 10 games was in 1983, something like that. So in the early 80s. I think what the league is doing, Jeff, is just sending a message that, you know what, you don't touch the official on the ice. They want to support them. And by suspending Dennis Weidman for 20 games, that's exactly what they're doing. But they know. They know that, you know, it will be appealed. And it's impossible, impossible that he will be suspended for 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. He didn't skate to the linesman and, you know, and trying to hit him. He didn't cross the ice to do it. I mean, it's he was in his way. It happens in the game. It doesn't look good. It's going to come down to 10 games. Everybody knows it. And you know what? I feel like it's a lot of, you know, a lot of games for an incident that was not, you know, it didn't look good, but come on. He went up the ice and never said to himself, there's a linesman in front of me and I'm going to hit that guy.
Yeah, but you know, how do we know that?
Well, how do we know that, you know, it's not the case? I mean,
because I'll tell you why. I mean, because he hit him. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But the evidence is he hit the linesman.
Yeah.
Went to the bench, didn't go to the quiet room. So all we have is his word and the Calgary Flames word that he was woozy. Like, I get what you're saying, and I think it's probably right. But all I'm saying is if you step back from it, there's nothing to suggest that it wasn't intentional.
But there's nothing to suggest that it was.
Yes, there is. The linesman was knocked down.
Oh, well, okay. But
the incident itself, you know, and again, I'm saying you're probably right. Dennis Weidman's history, he doesn't strike as the type of guy who's going to go after an official. But the evidence is he ran into the official, knocked the official down. He didn't try to get out of the way. He went to the bench, continued to play.
Okay.
I mean, the evidence is you've got an official lying on the ice, a player on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you, that's the evidence in front of you. We can't know what was in Dennis Weidman's head, Ren. It's impossible.
Okay, but have you seen my Twitter account?
Yes.
Last night? You have Yannick Weber, same linesman.
Yep.
Okay, I know it's totally different, but he still jumped in his face.
It's a big difference, though. I mean,
the speed of play. For me, it's not as big as a difference, to be honest with you, because I don't believe that when Dennis Weidman was hit, that he stand up, look at the linesman, and say he's the next one. Yes, if there was any intent, it was 1 foot away from the linesman. But I'll be shocked to hear that Dennis Weidman decided to target that linesman. First of all, why? Why a linesman? A referee maybe because there was no penalty on the play? I could have understood a linesman that's skating from behind and hitting you from in front of you. I think he saw the linesman at the last second. There's no video of his evidence of his eyes, by the way, where he was looking. If his eyes was just open, and at the last second he said, "Whoa, there's somebody in front of me. Get out of my way." That's, I think, what the league doesn't like.
Mm.
But to say that there was an intent to go to the linesman, for me, You need to prove it, and I don't think it's going to be easy to prove it.
See, well, I mean, look, again, we can't judge. We can't judge intent, but all we can go on, and you're right, there will be an appeal process, and it'll be
for sure.
It'll be halved. Then everybody, you know what? Everybody will be happy. I mean, the NHL stood up for the officials, and you know, at the end of the day, I think the most important thing is, it's one thing to sit here, Ren, and say, well, we're worried about concussions, and you know, boy, we take it seriously, and we've got spotters. But again, you had an example, and we've all seen it in games. You know, I mean, I was told one time by a doctor, you know who you don't ask if you don't ask about whether or not a guy has a concussion or a player has a concussion is the player, because he doesn't know if he has a concussion.
And that's why I like the way the NFL is doing it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the NHL needs to do. And at the All-Star game, all the doctors of every team in the NHL had a meeting at the All-Star game, as they usually do. And you know what? They talk about concussion for 75% of the meeting. And one of the thing that they were talking about is exactly that, Jeff. Are we giving too much, you know, are the players are the one really who decide if they go to the quiet room or not? And it's even more, and if they do decide at the end of the day that they're the one who are going to say, I'm not going, like Dennis Weinman did. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not going in a quiet room. Okay, after that, who's responsible if there's anything that happened after? If there's a concussion, is it the player's responsible or is it the team doctor? And now there's a lot of question about, okay, but if, let's say Dennis Weinman, for any reason, in 20 years, decide to sue the NHL because, you know, the league knew or the team doctor knew that he had a concussion at that point and he stayed on the bench. Who's responsible, Dennis Weinman or the doctors or the NHL? That's a debate that they had this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a debate that's going to, and I think they have another meeting scheduled this spring about it, because you know what? It's really, really important to have a protocol who's going to work for everybody. And as of right now, I don't think it's working pretty well.
No, and the important thing is, you have to me, you have to take it out of the hands of the player and out of the hands of the trainer. The trainer's paid by the team. The trainer, the last thing a trainer wants is to go to his general manager and say, well, I got some bad news for you. You've got 9 guys who can't play today. Because if that happens, you know what's going to happen to that trainer. He's going to be out in his ass very soon. So you need an impartial observer. You need someone who can say, hey, player number 60, whatever, player number 16, take him to the quiet room. And no ifs, ands, or buts. It's very clear. It's very easy. And I understand the NHL, pro leagues want to control everything because there are insurance risks. I get all that. But when it comes to concussions, you can't leave it in the hands of the player. You can't leave it in the hands of the coach. You can't leave it in the hands of the trainer. And you can't really leave it in the hands of the team doctor because at the end of the day, the team doctor works for the team.
It's exactly what I wanted to say. It's not only the trainer. It's the team doctor. The team doctor, the doctors are great doctors. At the end of the day, they're paid by the team. That's it. So you rest your case and I rest mine. I'm totally with you. Totally with you on this one. It needs to be people who they have, you know, not only training to call a player to a quiet room, but I really think they need to be doctors.
Yes.
And they need to have power. And when that doctor in the stands or wherever he is saying player 16, red in the dressing room, there's nothing, you know, a team can't do anything about it. And I know in the NFL, this first year they did that. I remember a couple of players getting hit in the head, and first thing they're on the ground, and they're looking at their ankle, and they're like, oh, I have an ankle injury, because they want to tell everybody in the stands and the NFL doctors that it's not a head injury, it's an ankle injury. The NFL all the time said, no, you're out. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to let us know that you have an ankle injury, maybe you have one, but at the end of the day, you're doozy and you're out. And that's the way it should be. That's the way I think it's going to be soon. I just don't know when. Maybe next year, but it's going to change the game because there won't be any more Dennis Weinman staying on the bench And maybe it happened in Montreal with Nathan Beaulieu, remember, being knocked out. So you have a lot of incidents right now, and you're like scratching your head, and you're like, what are those spotters are doing right now? They're not doing much, I'm telling you.
In conversation with Ren Lavoie of TVS Sports. All right, let's shift focus to the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, I might as well ask you the same question all the time. Montreal, what, they lost their fourth in a row, fifth straight at home. The Buffalo Sabres are a better team than they were last year, but there's no way the Buffalo Sabres should be scoring three goals in a period to beat the Canadiens. Where's this going, Ren? Are we at the point where the Canadiens are almost ready to say, let's just shut down Carey Price, let's get the surgery done, and, you know, let's just essentially write off the season?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, what you just said about the Sabres, and somebody said that to me last night, said, Bruno, they're losing versus the second-worst team in the East. I'm like, no, the Montreal Canadiens are the worst team in the East. It doesn't matter about – look at the standings. Standings are lying right now because they have three wins in December. They have three wins in January. It's the worst team in the NHL, period. There's no other way to see it. It's the worst team right now in the NHL, period. So is it time to shut down Carey Price? That's a great question. But, you know, Carey Price is not only thinking about this year. He's thinking about something that's going to happen in September in Toronto, and that's the World Cup. I'm pretty sure if you have you ask the question to Carey Price about the World Cup, he's going to say, no, I'm not thinking about that. You're right. He's not thinking about it, but he knows that if he wants to play at the World Cup, he needs to play in the NHL this season. If he's not playing in the NHL this season, he's not playing at the World Cup, even if he's healthy.
Right.
If the Montreal Canadiens allow Carey Price to go to the World Cup after, let's say, a surgery or after being off for 7-8 months, people in Montreal will be really upset about it. And it's not about not letting Carey Price going at the World Cup for Team Canada. It's really about whoa. Mm-hmm. We went through a bad season without him. We're not going through another one.
And it's not. And frankly, Ren, as much as I like the World Cup, it's not the Olympics. If it's the Olympics, maybe you can sell it a bit. But even then, you wouldn't be able to sell it, would you?
No. People, it won't happen.
Right.
And I think everybody in the organization thinks exactly the same right now. There'll be a lot of people upset, not only in Montreal, but in the organization, if Carey Price is going at the World Cup. Nothing against the World Cup or Team Canada. But what the city's been through and the team's been through is unacceptable right now. And maybe it's going to cost jobs. Right now I think Michel Therrien is safe. And I think he's going to be the coach starting in September next year. But that doesn't mean that, there could be more changes coming. I think the Montreal Canadiens are going to be sellers by the end of the month. I don't expect a major trade as of right now. I don't expect maybe Andrei Markov to be traded as of right now. Could change in a week. But there'll be some players that are going to be moved. All the UFAs, Dale Weiss, Tom Gilbert, those guys, maybe Thomas Fleischmann, those guys are going to be traded. And after that, it's going to be quite easy. They're going to call up some young players, and they're going to finish the season in Montreal.
What about John Scott?
No.
I was kidding. My tongue was in cheek there.
I know. But it's and by the way, it's nothing about against John Scott for the Montreal Canadiens. I think that, it's a bad situation. I think the Montreal Canadiens right now are working really hard with John Scott to make sure that, his wife's going to give birth soon to the Twins, and the Montreal Canadiens are doing everything in their control to help John Scott to make sure that, first of all, he's going to be there and he's going to take his time after with his family. And it's not going to be an issue for the Montreal Canadiens. I think they were even upset to learn after the trade that his wife was 8 months pregnant. They didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
they'll take – I mean, the one thing we know about the Canadiens, I mean, they'll take care of John Scott.
Yeah. They will. They
take care of their own. They really do.
Yeah. And maybe he's going to be called up at the end of the season to play one last game. Maybe it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not the GM. I'm not the one who's going to decide. But John Scott's not going to be part of the solution here. Okay,
right.
He's not going to be called up. I've heard some fans last night on radio saying you need to call John Scott and put him on the power play. What?
Can he play goal? Really?
Maybe.
I mean, that's all the season needs is John Scott and goal. Rand,
why not?
Why not? Thank you so much for doing this as always.
Thanks for making me laugh.
Okay, take care. Take care. That's Rand Lavoie of TVS Sports, one of our NHL insiders, and you can follow him on Twitter at Rand Lavoie TVS, or TVA, but it's TVS. We can francize it a little bit, if that's a word. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Race Capanello, Hall of Fame linesman, will join us at 940. And we'll talk about the 20-game suspension to Dennis Weidman. And we know what's going to happen. It's going to get cut. It's going to get cut down, and everybody's going to be happy. A message has been sent. And I think this is playing out the way it should play out. But I also... At the same time, I'm completely supportive of Gary Bettman if the suspension isn't cut down. I mean, and I understand what people are saying, but you have to look at it. You have to stand back and look at it and look at the available evidence. And again, Dennis Weidman and the Calgary Flames are going to try to tell me that he didn't really, you know, he was woozy, didn't know what he was doing. I'm going to throw it back in their face and say, well, if you're that concerned about it, why didn't one of you take him to the quiet room? Why didn't you treat him like he had a concussion? He may have had a concussion, but it sure as hell sounds like an excuse right now, doesn't it? So I don't think the here's where I stand now. I don't think the NHL had any other option. I'm willing to hear what you think about it, but I don't think the NHL had any other option. And I really do believe, and if you've listened to the show, you know how I feel about officials for the most part, except NBA officials. I really do believe that their job is hard enough. You have to err to the nth degree when it comes to protecting your officials. You have to err on the side of caution. I think you have to go over the top in defending your officials, especially in an emotional sport like hockey. John in Keswick, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead. Sorry. I don't have a name here, Travis. I don't have any names here. Gary and Lindsay, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hello there.
Hey, Gary.
Two things. I think this whole appeal thing is just more of the sissification of society and the entitled, you know, sort of culture there. Everyone thinks, well, I can do this because. Two questions would be, was the rule in place before the incident? Did the incident happen? Beyond that, there's nothing to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's that simple. But, you know, the thing is, when you have people who played the game doing analysis, and I'm not slagging them, but this is the case, I'm sure they've all been in that situation. You know, I'm sure they've all been in a game where a linesman's gotten in the way or a referee's gotten in the way or something has happened. And from guys who played hockey, they'll say, look, Jeff, that happens. Been there. Going off on a line change. Get the hell out of my way. And that's fine. But you know what? It doesn't happen that often that we see officials thrown to the ice or pushed to the ice. And again, Dennis Weidman goes to the quiet room, comes back out, and you say, you know what? You know, it was a concussion. I mean, I'm sorry. The entire tone of the discussion is different. The entire tone of the discussion is different. You cannot possibly know what is in any person's head at any given time when they're in a game like that. We might think we know what was in Dennis Weidman's head. We may think that we were in similar situations if we played hockey. But the evidence suggests guy was hitting the corner. He got up, was going to his bench on a line change, could have veered away from the official, runs into the official, pushes him down, arms come up, stick comes up, goes off the bench, or goes to the bench, no remorse. Concussion? Doesn't go to the quiet room. Trainer asks him if he's okay. He shakes his head. So what's your evidence? Your evidence is, well, there's no track record of it. You know how many people, you know, commit crimes the first time? There's a first time everybody commits a crime, right? There's a first time for everybody. So don't give me the track record thing. The evidence is pretty strong. And to me, this is just about the Calgary Flames covering their ass. Their medical staff, their training staff, the head coach, and on and on and on up the ladder. Stephen Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think, personally, just from watching, that Weidman's hit into the boards, he may have felt that there should have been a call on that. And I think there was a little aggression towards, like, when you're going to skate into someone, if it's your own player or a ref or linesman, you turn away, you might shoulder them, but bringing your arms up, I don't know, looks pretty intentional. And almost looks like he may have been showing aggression towards not having his hit been called.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I will say about this is, you know, if he was woozy, It's possible that he didn't look for the stripe on the arm. You know, he just saw zebra. I see zebra. I see vertical black stripes. Igor hit zebra. It's possible that happened. But I'm not buying that. I don't know if he was pissed off at the hit. I think he was just, I got to get off the ice. Get the hell out of my way. But again, you can't do that. You know. One of the things people talk about when it comes to hockey, and even Don Cherry talks about this when it comes to hockey, is, you know, there's an element of risk to playing the game. There's an element of accidental risk. Stick accidentally comes up, right? Skate accidentally comes up. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen when you have pucks and sticks and blades and speed and guys going all over the place. You have to have an awareness of the situation. You have to be cautious because you play the game enough. You play the game enough, you know this can happen. You have to be aware of your surroundings. It is demanded of you. And that was an incident where, for whatever the reason, Dennis Weidman didn't exercise the necessary caution. Again, you know, someone was hurt on the play. Right? The official ended up spending overnight in the hospital. So, I mean, I understand where people want to side with the player all the time, but when your defense is, well, he didn't have a track record of doing that, and there's no way. When your defense is, I think I know what the guy was thinking, well, that's no defense. You don't know what the guy's thinking. I mean, with all due respect, we don't know what Dennis Weidman was thinking. Maybe Dennis Weidman was thinking, you know, that SOB. Maybe he was. Jeff in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. I enjoy the references to with defense and evidence. Is that work I do for a living?
Good.
And one of the big things here is the question, I'll call it the question of intent. I'm prepared to allow for the fact that medical evidence of the hearing showed the guy did have a concussion. And, Jeff, it doesn't matter that Weidman didn't say, oh, I want to go to the quiet room, because as you pointed out earlier, the player is in the worst position to evaluate that.
I agree.
And further, I don't look at the bench and say, oh, well, he couldn't have had a concussion. They didn't send him to the quiet room, because you pointed out the team doesn't do the protection often in that regard.
Right. Yeah.
So where does it leave you? It leaves you with the guy whose head may well have been scrambled. Mm-hmm. Now you can't find intent, and you need intent to be able to punish him on the basis he intentionally hit somebody he knew to be a ref. This isn't Tom Lysiak, who trips an official face-off member.
Right.
What this is, I think, the guy's sufficiently disoriented. I'm prepared to allow for the fact he's skating to the bench, seems to be okay. At the last sec, just as he comes towards his own bench, somebody comes across his path, and I'm prepared to accept that he thought, just in the flash and the confusion, it's an opposing player, raises a stick. He had no motive to hit the ref. The ref had done nothing to cause him to have any intent to cause malice. Opposing player, sure. So from a defense counsel standpoint, that the evidence of that concussion that I could lead at the hearing could raise a reasonable doubt, a real question of whether he meant to hit an official, and that's the key.
What about, and I'm not going to argue with a lawyer, I'm too smart for that, but what about the idea that by not following the protocol or by continuing to play in the game, the argument that he had a concussion or the argument that he was woozy at the time, you know, doesn't come up to scratch? Because you know what I mean? If he had gone there, then I'd buy the argument, right? Because, hey, the guy had a concussion, they followed the protocol.
Sure. Try it this way, Jeff. When the Houston Oilers quarterback Case Keenan gets knocked down and is clearly woozy and out and keeps playing, do we say he didn't have a concussion because the team didn't treat it that way? No, they missed it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Now, Jeff, fast question. Did you enjoy the Frank DeFord book I sent you a couple years ago?
Oh, that was you. Yes, I did.
That was me.
That was you.
I got the Winnipeg-Hamilton connection just like you. Loved your work and thought you'd enjoy the DeFord book.
Oh, that was great. Thank you very much.
Okay, pleasure chatting with you.
Take care. I did, actually. Frank, well, I'm sure you all know who Frank DeFord is, but when you start out in the business, I met Frank DeFord at the Calgary Olympics. And I mean, I was a writer for the Calgary Herald at the time, and I guess I would have been, when was it, Calgary? It would be 26, 28. And I ended up sitting beside Frank DeFord just in the workroom one time. And he was so nice. And, you know, you always say, well, guys are nice. And generally, people in the business are pretty supportive. And people in this business have a pretty good track record of mentorship in a lot of ways. But he was just so nice. And he didn't have to pay the thing. You know, who's this guy sitting beside me talking to me while I'm trying to write? So Jeff and Hamilton, there you go. A lawyer. So I stand guilty. Travis, your old man's a lawyer. Would they convict me on, would you say that I'm guilty of misreading the situation, do you think? No? Call your dad and see what he'd do. Maybe not. Ray Scapinello, Hall of Fame NHL linesman, will join us. We'll continue our discussion on Dennis Weidman when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590
on Monday,
The Fan.
I was arrested. On a Tuesday, they locked me in the jail. On a Wednesday, my trial was attested. Thursday, they said guilty, and the judge's gavel fell. I got stripes around my shoulder. I got chains around my feet. I got stripes.
Not a bad morning when you can spin a little Johnny Cash along with the Clash. It's not bad. Poor old Dennis Weidman, 20-game suspension for running into Don Henderson, the linesman, likely be cut down on appeal by Gary Bettman. But I think it's safe to say the message was sent. I mean, I hope the message was sent. But I have to admit, after talking to Jeff from Hamilton, after talking to a guy who's a lawyer, and he asks you the question, where's the motive? You know, I mean, it's at that point you kind of raise the white flag. So I don't know if I should still hold to my view that Gary Bettman was right in this case. I probably should, shouldn't I? Just because what fun is there in changing your opinion about something? Ray Scapinello is in the NHL Hall of Fame. He's a longtime linesman, one of the most recognizable linesmen in the game. I don't know, Ray. Thanks for joining us. Have you seen an incident or been involved in an incident like this? I mean, I'm sure you must have.
I have indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm sure you're going to get a bill from that lawyer, by the way.
Well, that's okay.
Years ago, it wasn't as severe as what happened with Weidman and Donnie Henderson, but it happened in Chicago years ago when Duke Grimson was playing for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And a fight.
Speaking of lawyers.
Sorry?
Speaking of lawyers.
He's a very bright young man.
Yes, yeah, he is.
And a big man. I mean, I'm 5'7", and he's got to be 6'2", 6'3".
Yes.
But a fight had broken out. Two fights had broken out at the same time. And out of the corner of my eye, I see Stu heading for the altercations. And I grabbed him by his jersey at the front, and I stopped him. But he kept making a concerted effort to try to get into the fight, and we kept spinning around in circles and circles. And I eventually got him to the players' bench. And I think Mike Keenan was the coach at the time. And Mike said, he said, I'll keep him here, Scamp, I promise. I said, do I have your word? He goes, yeah, you do. So I went in and broke up all the fights, and Keenan, to his word, kept Stu at the players' bench. I never did anything to Stu. I just sort of thought it was, you know, part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Game was over, went in the dressing room. John D'Amico, I'm sure you know John D'Amico, one of the
right.
best linemen ever laced up a pair of skates, if not the best. He was supervising at the time, and he walked in, and he was extremely disappointed in me for not throwing Stu out of the game. I really couldn't understand what his problem was until later that evening I saw the replay. And, I mean, we spun around. He never at one point laid a hand on me to try to knock my hands away. He just kept trying to get around me.
Mm-hmm.
And the league went with supplementary discipline and suspended Stu Grimson 3 games for mm-hmm. that incident. So that's the worst that ever happened to me. I was on the on the ice for 33 seasons, and never once had I stepped onto the ice thinking for a millisecond that a player would purposely try and harm me, and it never really did for me.
What was your read on this play? You know, someone who's been there. First of all, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, given how fast the game is now and how big everybody is.
Officials get thumped constantly. I mean, they're telling you to get out of the way half the night, and I can understand that. You know, the rink's, 100 by 85, and the players are, starting at 6 foot and getting bigger, and the game is moving 100 miles an hour, and the players are amazing athletes. They train 12 months a year, and the officials train 12 months a year, by the way. But, yeah, we get in the way, and, the key to not getting in the way is hopefully you read the play a lot better and stay out of harm's way. But in this incident, and listen, I don't know what Weidman was thinking. He obviously wasn't thinking. But, in my opinion, he was a frustrated player from hitting the corner. He's going off, and he took his frustrations out on the first person he ran into and literally ran into Donnie Henderson. And in my opinion, extended his arms and cross-checked him to the ice and had zero thought of Donnie's safety and well-being. If somebody from the Calgary organization up in the press box watched that incident a couple of times on replay, they should have called down to the assistant coach, tapped Weidman on the shoulder and said, you get into the dressing room and don't come back out. I mean, I don't think it would have helped this case, but it would have been a lot better sitting in front of Coley Campbell with that reasoning or excuse, whichever word you care to use.
Oh, that was my point exactly, is if you're going to go to Gary Bettman and you're going to say, look, the player he didn't play the rest of the game. He was in the quiet room. He's concussed. At least I could believe that. You know what I mean? I mean, at least that would make me feel a bit different about the play. But absent that, as I said, the evidence I see, and I can't get into the guy's head and judge intent. The evidence I see is I've got a linesman down. I got the guy in the bench not showing any remorse. And the other thing that kind of stood out, Ray, in this play to me, is the reaction of the Nashville players. I mean,
oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. I don't know if they were interviewed or not. Do you?
I don't know if they were interviewed, but, you could tell that they just didn't believe what they'd just seen. they didn't. That was the reaction.
Yeah, Jeff, it happens so rarely. Maybe 5 or 6 incidents throughout my career. I mean, I know Andy Van Helleman had 2 occasions where he was punched by Terry O'Reilly and Paul Holmgren.
Right.
On 2 different occasions. This is years ago, but nevertheless, it did happen. I mean, I officiated through the Broad Street Bully era.
Right.
And in that era, when it was, classified as controlled mayhem, I mean, no officials were, in harm's way with all the chaos that was going on in those games. So it's such a rare incident. That's why it's on your talk show. As far as I'm concerned, Coley Campbell and the National Hockey League send a message right across to the NHLPA and anybody else that plays the game of hockey that touching an official just will not be tolerated. And I know they've appealed it. And I mean, that, you know, they'd be foolish not to appeal it. But I, in my heart, I don't think Mr. Bettman will reduce it. Let me tell you a quick little story.
Sure.
After Brian Burke left the Vancouver Canucks, he became he worked for the National Hockey League in general, and he ended up becoming the director of officiating. And Brian was one of the best bosses that I ever worked under, along with John McCauley and a couple of others. But I just can't believe, and he is defending his player, and that's his job. But I can't believe Brian Burke is giving Dennis Wideman much sympathy for what he did. I really can't, knowing Brian Burke the way I do.
Ray, before we let you run, how important was this? You know, you talked about it was a message sent across the league, but we also know there was that incident a couple of years ago, or I don't know if you call it an incident, where those emails were leaked, some emails from Colin Campbell, in which, the officials, some officials weren't necessarily viewed in a great light. Was it important for Coley, do you think, to score some points here? And I mean that respectfully, here?
All these incidents are, I think, just... all off on their own. This is completely different. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. I believe those were over a referee by the name of Dean Warren.
Right.
But no, I think all these just play on their own. I just think they made the right decision. I really, really do. And you can bet that Major League Baseball and basketball and any other major sport, baseball, and it looked at that suspension and are extremely happy with it. Because, I mean, it just, like I said, I'm repeating myself, but it sends a strong message.
Ray, it was great of you to do this. Thanks so much, as always. You be well.
My pleasure, Jeff. Stay well.
Ray Scapinello, Hall of Fame NHL linesman. You can follow him on Twitter at Ray's Road Hockey. Great tweet from Chris J. Boy Williams with a picture of, he's the head coach of the Peterborough Huskies. Ray Scapinello giving an autograph to one of the kids on the team. Great picture. And it says, please thank Ray for the autograph for Robbie. It made his day. And it's very cool. And we will indeed pass on your thanks to Ray Scapinello. We used to call it the state of the franchise. And now it's called the leadoff. It is essentially a Toronto Blue Jays, a function with Toronto Blue Jays season's ticket holders. It's a chance for season's ticket holders to ask questions of the general manager, the president, the manager today, John Gibbons, Kevin Pillar, Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro. They will be at the Rogers Center, I should say, tonight. They'll meet Blue Jays season's ticket holders, as I said, a chance to ask questions. A lot of you probably aren't going to be there. A lot of you will be there, I would imagine, but a lot of you probably won't be there. So we're going to ask a question in the next hour. If you were at tonight's event, which is called the leadoff, what one question would you most like to ask of Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, or John Gibbons? Which one question? In other words, I guess what I'm saying is, what is the one question you most need to have answered about the 2016 Blue Jays from Mark Shapiro, from Ross Atkins, or from John Gibbons? John Paul Morosi will join us. He is, of course, a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. We'll talk to John about that. We'll take a look around Major League Baseball, some free agents still out there. And then we'll throw open the phone lines. We'll ask you. We'll have our own little leadoff event. What would you ask John Gibbons, Mark Shapiro, or Ross Atkins at tonight's event if you had the chance? 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.